Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Good to have you with me. Another hour. I tell you what, it is good when we are able to spend time together. Kind of, you know, looking at some of the situations that face us and some of the situations that confront us, some of the situations that really bring us pleasure, bring smile to our faces. Yes, happy smiles. Man, we can use that, right? Well, you know, we were taking a listen to what we have going on in life, and there's something I want to ask you about. It has to do with marriage. How many of you have attended a wedding, say, in the last 12 months? Well, let's say in the last 2 years. What was some of the highlights for you about that wedding? For some of you, it might be just the fact that, well, these two people became lifetime partners. And just the fact that they are partners for life is what really served as the highlight for you. Some of you might be thinking, well, you know, the wedding party really looked great. I liked the colors that both the men and the women were wearing. I thought that those colors blended well. They stood out well. I really liked the colors. Some of you might be thinking, well, for me, in all honesty, it was the reception, because I enjoyed watching them take those pictures, but also the food was great. Yeah, I enjoyed that food. Can we get some more? What were the highlights for you? And I know some of you might be thinking, well, I can't really say that there were any highlights for me, because, I mean, it was just an event, just another event, and I went out of obligation more than anything else. Some of you might say, well, for me, the highlight is the fact that I was one of the bridesmaids, or I was one of the groomsmen. And so the fact that I was actively participating in that wedding is what made it special to me. What made it special to you? What made it not special to you? For those of you who would say it was an event, I mean, and I was there, and I'm not particularly glad that I went. I'm not particularly not glad that I went. I was just there. What do you suppose would lead to our thoughts about how we respond, how we react, what we think about that wedding and our emotional response to it? Or if we've been to several weddings in the last 2 years, what are behind some of our emotional and mental responses? Do we have some subconscious things going on inside of us that we really need to just kind of look closely at in order to really pin down, to really nail down what we're thinking, what's going on with us with regards to these weddings? For example, do you think that subconsciously part of the reason that some of you who were excited about the wedding and came away glad that you attended, whether you participated or you were just in the audience watching and listening, do you suppose that maybe one reason you may have had a positive response to it is because maybe you were married, you are married, and you are enjoying your marriage, or you just had that ongoing, for what is for some people, an ongoing thought that, oh man, this is great. They're getting married today and they're going to live happily ever after. And just the notion that these two will be in love with each other and will thoroughly enjoy living with each other for the next 20 years, 40 years, whatever it might be. And some of you might be thinking just the opposite. Man, with all this going on in the world, all these marriages where people are miserable together, all these marriages where, well, they end up in divorce. Even if on a subconscious level, that's somewhere in the backs of our minds, we find it maybe difficult to really be excited about the wedding. Well, let me ask you this. Which would you prefer if you have not already been married, and if you are presently married or were once married? Which do you think would work better for you, regardless of where you are? You've never been married, you're thinking about getting married, or you definitely intend to one day get married, or you currently are married, you once were married, but you're not married now, and you're thinking about maybe remarriage, or you look back on the marriage that no longer is. I have a question for all of you. Which would you prefer? An arranged marriage where your parents and the parents of the person you would potentially marry talk with each other. They see you, they see their child, they consider a number of issues, and they say, hey, you know what? We think that our children might make a good couple. Let's arrange their marriage. What do you think would be better? Have that arranged marriage, or do you prefer the concept, the Western concept, especially here in America, of the couple who's going to be marrying, making that decision on their own? They see each other, they choose each other, and maybe get some input from other family members, but ultimately, from beginning to end, the decision is theirs, yours. Which do you think would work better? Well, I tell you, I've talked with some people about arranged marriages, and I've read a little bit, just a little bit, about arranged marriages. And the conversations seem to bring about the same conclusions that the readings bring about, and that is that, generally speaking, arranged marriages are actually more successful than what some people call the love marriages, where the couple meet each other, however they do it, church, at the skating rink, however they do it, they meet each other, they decide to go out on a date, they visit with each other a few times, and over a course of time, they decide that they've fallen in love, and then they decide that they want to marry each other, and they announce that to their families. We're going to get married. And some people call those love marriages. Versus arranged marriages where, in the beginning, love is not part of the picture. It's not that it never will be, but very often the couple who will be marrying each other do not love each other in the beginning, and they don't pretend. It is understood that either one does not love the other or neither loves the other at that point. Let me share with you, courtesy of Psychology Today, what Utpal Dalakia shares about arranged marriages. Now, disclaimer up front. There is no suggestion here that either type of marriage, love marriage or the one that I'm going to focus on primarily, arranged marriages are perfect. There is no suggestion that arranged marriages are perfect, and he's going to point that out in the end. But in getting to the end, the point that he makes is that when it comes to divorce rates, or let's put it this way, marriages that remain intact, marriages that last, the arrangement remains in place, the arranged marriages are more successful than the love marriages. Does that sound counterintuitive to you? That people who have decided from the very beginning, and I'm saying from the very beginning, I don't necessarily mean from the first day they meet each other. I'm not talking about a love at first sight type of deal here. I'm just meaning from the time that they decided they were going to get married, they both agreed that they loved each other. One of the unfortunate tragedies about this whole issue of the two saying they love each other is so often one of them or both of them can be actually lying. And they can be saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. They can say that 3, 4, 5 times a week and it'd be a lie. But the theory is we love each other and so we've decided to get married. That's what's happening, at least conceptually, even if not in reality, even if not really. And then you have the arranged marriages. Dr. Dalakia, who is also a professor, says that during his 2+ decades in the United States of America, he'd seen many changes occur in his native India. India eradicated the scourge of polio. They sent a rocket ship to Mars on a shoestring budget. India built modern highways that crisscrossed the country. They flex its economic muscles. And India is raising tens of millions of people out of poverty. But there's one phenomenon that has not changed, and it continues to puzzle and intrigue many people. It's the institution of the Indian arranged marriage. Even today, a vast majority of Indians and Indian Americans whom he knows, including family members, friends, acquaintances, and some of his students. Remember, I told you he's a professor. Many of them, among the highest educated and westernized strata, choose, get this now, they choose an arranged marriage over a love marriage or free choice marriage. And that's one of the other names that people have for what I earlier called a love marriage, one where the couple chooses each other. Free choice marriage. Many, in fact, he said the vast majority of Indians and Indian Americans who he know choose an arranged marriage over a free choice one. So how does a modern Indian arranged marriage work? Well, a typical modern arranged marriage works this way. For both men and women, the individual's parents or older family members screen for and find prospective mates for further consideration through their social circle, their community, or by advertising on matrimonial websites or newspapers. There's an initial meeting and a family gathering, after which the couple has a few opportunities for chaperoned courtship. At that point, if neither party has vetoed the match, and if they're so inclined, they may spend some time together alone. And then it's time to make the decision. It's not unusual for the process from initial introduction to the final yes, no decision to unfold within a few days. From the time the introduction is made to the time that they finally say yes or no to the notion of marrying each other, occurs often within a few days. How many of us say, well, you know what? You need to be dating at least 6 months. How many people will say, no, you need to be dating at least 12 months? Some say, no, not even a year is long enough. You need to be dating a year and a half to 2 years. And make sure that you include pre-marriage counseling as part of the mix, as part of the process. Now, for my part, I'm not saying either way. I'm not saying it should be arranged. I'm not saying it should be happening within a few days. I'm not saying we should make sure that the dating process takes place so many months. Pre-marriage counseling should be part of the process. I'm not saying one way or the other, because I really want to just share the information with you and just bring to our mind some of the things that we know about how the free choice marriages work. And you decide which you think would be better for you or for your child. Is it just basically, you know, to each his own? Okay, this takes place, though, from the time that they introduce with the Indian arranged marriages. Again, from the time that that initial introduction takes place till they give their final yes or their final no to proceeding with the relationship, usually within a few days, everyone knows whether or not they're going to proceed. A 2013 Ipsos survey found that 74% of young Indians, and we're talking 18 to 35 years of age, prefer an arranged marriage over a free choice one. Other sources report that as many as 90% of all Indian marriages are arranged. Now, let me tell you, that is an eye-opener for me, that at least 74% of young Indians, 18 to 35, prefer an arranged marriage. That is an eye-opener for me because I would have thought that given the choice, particularly younger Indians would have opted for a free choice marriage. It comes to me as an interesting surprise that the majority of young Indians prefer an arranged marriage. Doesn't that sound like the control is being taken away from us? Doesn't it seem like we might be set up for failure by letting someone else choose our mate for us? I mean, wouldn't we be the ones most likely to, you know, in the end, know who's better for us? Well, let's explore this some more. I think it's worth exploring. Remember now, the divorce rate amongst free choice marriage couples is pretty high. There's something to think about.